Release your glory, Father. Glory and grace over you, Cheryl. Glory and grace. We bless you to know the God of the breakthrough, that your breakthrough would release breakthrough for every child, that there'd be souls for the kingdom, that you'd release, that there'd be great fruitfulness, that because of your work, because of your labor, because of where the soles of your feet are laid, Lord, let there be a release of great glory, great majesty, Father, that they would see open heavens in that place to release the goodness of God over her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, just bless her as you sit down, you know. More for Cheryl. Anyway, it is so good to be here. I know it's 2 weeks in a row now, but my wife sends greetings from Guelph. She's ministering this morning in Guelph with the team and looking forward to tonight as we launch the House of Prayer. And Steffi, there's something Tuesday night too, right? Or no? No. People are asking me, is there something Tuesday night? And it's like, Patricia is the primary role with the... It's a set on Tuesday night. So people can come on. That starts at what time? 7 o'clock. So yeah, you can come out for the first set on Tuesday night. But the launch is really tonight. And there's a buzz, I think, and a waiting for what God wants to do. I believe he's releasing a spirit of prayer over his church because we're in an exciting time to be able to release it. But I am thrilled to be here. And thank you very much for your very warm welcome last week. We were blessed over the top. And it's great to have a home all over the place, and especially one right here again. So, but you know, today's a very incredible date as well, isn't it? 10 years since so much of our world changed because of the bombing, really, the entering in, the devastation of the Twin Towers. And I heard this morning from somebody that President Obama actually read Psalm 46. Isn't that amazing? So for the sake, I think we should just pray for our neighbor down south for a moment and for the United States of America, because to be able to declare that, Psalm 46 ends with something along the line of, where is it? I've got it here. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So Father, we lift up our neighbors to the south. We pray for the United States of America. We ask that you would release upon them glory and grace. We pray for President Obama and his advisors and his team, Lord. We pray that there would be a breakthrough of repentance, Father, that they would recognize that you will be exalted. Jesus Christ will be exalted in the earth and among the nations and in the United States. And we pray that there would be a release of prayer and repentance, Father, that would bring the very thing that so many of us are crying out for in that land, in that place, in the hearts of the leaders that are there, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, keep praying for them. The Bible says, love your neighbors as yourselves. Canada has one neighbor that borders us. And so I think it's really important that we love the United States of America, but you know what, just we recognize as well, don't we, that 10 years in, we are a transitional generation. You know, this generation, this time frame, I believe that many of us are living in the very time frame that Jesus is going to return and bring the greatest transition to the face of the earth that we've ever known. There's been transitional generations throughout the years, for example, when Jesus first came to planet Earth. That changed the scope of the way Earth ran, the way they did things in Israel. And after Jesus died, rose again, life was never ever the same. You look at the days of Moses, when Moses went into Egypt and set the captives free, all the Israelis, and set them free and brought them into the promised land through with Joshua as well. That was a transitional generation. We're in a transitional generation. Your lives, we are blessed. You know, we are very blessed because our lives, we will witness and participate, more importantly, with the things that God is doing as he releases his glory and establishes his kingdom in fullness upon the earth. And I think it's incredible because I don't know if you see like God sees, but God looks at you and says, you guys have what it takes. He chose you at the beginning of all time to be alive in this hour and in this season of time because he knew that you and the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with one another, have what it takes to release the glory of God and to bring forth the coming of the return of the Lord that will forever change the scope of planet Earth. And I think that's extremely exciting. I think it's incredible. I'm glad I wasn't born 100 years ago. I'm glad I wasn't born 500 years ago in the Dark Ages. I am so thrilled to be alive today. But it means, you know, it means that we have to come into agreement with the Lord, doesn't it? That if he sees certain things inside of each one of us, it's important for us to see what he sees, to come into agreement with heaven. Bill Johnson says both heaven and hell are looking for human agreement. What do you spend most of your time agreeing with? Yeah, we want to agree with heaven. We want to see the glory of God released because there is such an incredible destiny for you and I to access and to release the glory of God. There is a lost and a broken world in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, you know, a lot of Z countries as well as A countries all the way through. And we're called to release his glory. We're called to agree with the Spirit of God and to bring forth revelation and aspects of the kingdom of God, the heart of the Father, the heart of Jesus Christ. And today is a very interesting day because it's 10 years since that time. And frankly, the darkness is getting more gross. But praise God, the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And isn't it amazing to be in the light? You know, the glory light of Jesus Christ being released where we are. And what God is calling forth at this time is men and women that are like the sons of Issachar, that are able to discern and understand the times with knowledge of what Israel, or in our case here today, what the people of God are supposed to do. You know, the prophetic people that know what God is saying, what he's doing, and are speaking it out and are releasing it and are launching it and are declaring it and calling others into all that he has for us. But it is a time that I believe we need to be asking the question, what time is it? And I'm not talking about that clock, but I do need to look at that too. But you know, what time is it? It is a very incredible time. We are living in an amazing hour and a season of life, and we want to maximize every opportunity that the Spirit of God gives us, because there's breakthroughs being released all across the earth. And I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, but your breakthrough gives access for other people to have breakthrough. When Cheryl gets breakthrough in Zambia, the photos of those kids that we just saw, they will have breakthrough because of the breakthrough that she released. It's the nature of breakthrough. When Jesus came to planet Earth, he brought with him a breakthrough of the kingdom of heaven. And because he stepped into that breakthrough, you and I can also step in with him. There's a principle that is recognized when Jesus is lambasting the religious leaders in Matthew 23. How many remember that? When he comes and he talks about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says to them at that point in time, as he really rebukes them. And what do you say? Matthew 23:13, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And so let's flip that around. What does that mean for you and I? What doorways are being opened for you to access? What doorways are there in your lives, in the mountains of society and culture that you've got access and entryway to? What doorways is the Holy Spirit giving to you that he's actually saying, "I want you to go through the door"? Because just like the scribes and the Pharisees didn't go through the door, they hindered anybody else and everybody else from being able to access the place of breakthrough. But you and I are called to go through doorways to bring breakthrough into that place. And as you bring breakthrough, you begin to release breakthrough for all those that surround you. And so you're agents of breakthrough. You are agents of what God wants to do. Jesus himself, I want to talk a little bit about community, but Jesus himself was a man who had incredible community in heaven. Have you ever stopped to dream about that and to imagine it? We got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in heavenly places, and the incredible unity and the communion and the community they have, because the word community and the word communion are really from the same root word. It's the same thing. We celebrated communion last week, but we also did is we celebrated community. We had community together. We accessed a place of what Peter shared about this morning through that word as belonging. Entering in, taking, partaking of the elements, partaking of that which represents the body and the blood of the Lord, we are accessing the very anointing, the very reality of what Christ did 2,000 years ago at the Last Supper when he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." The same anointing is still released through us. It's the same thing that happened a couple thousand years before that at the Passover, the Passover when Moses took the children of Israel that were in captivity and released them into the promised land. They broke free from the land of Egypt. We are partaking of that, and that is communion, but it's community. It's doing it together. It's realizing that we're one. One of you might be powerful. Two of you will set 10,000 to flight, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, the two, one can pick his brother up. And so in this hour, how do we prepare for the season in which we live? I believe one of the things is it's crucial to have a spirit of prayer. That God would release prayer, that we know, like the sons of Issachar, the times and the seasons that we're living in, and we see what's being done in heaven, and as we begin to come into agreement with heaven, we release it on planet Earth. And we cry out in agreement, and we begin to declare with the same creative anointing and unction that the Holy Spirit had at the beginning of all time as he hovered over the earth. We release it and create it with the words of our mouth through prayer, through intercession, releasing, accessing and releasing. But there's also this thing of community. How do we live? We live in a place of we're doing it together. We are doing it as a threefold cord that will not be easily broken. We're doing it agreeing with the Holy Spirit, knowing that the time and the season is to be in a place of awareness. And you know, I look at today too. This is September 11th. You know, I love the fact that no matter how rotten the enemy is, God always turns it for good. You notice that? It's 9/11. You know, first of all, when I think of 9/11, it's kind of like urgency, urgency, urgency. What do we do when things are urgent? We begin to pray, don't we? There's a cry in our heart that we begin to release what God puts on our heart. We begin to cry out for justice and righteousness to be brought forth. But there's also Amos 9/11. And Patricia will probably talk on this more tonight. I don't want to go into it too much. But Amos 9/11 says, "In that day I will raise up the fallen booth or the falling tent of David. And I will wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old." David was not just a king. He was a worship leader. He was actually a worship leader whose side job was a king. Okay? That's what he was. And he accessed the presence of God. And everything that he did from the place of the presence. And he released the glory over all of Israel that we've not seen since. Solomon actually walked in the fruit of what David broke through. Talking about breakthrough again. Because of David's breakthrough, Solomon lived in the glory of that breakthrough. Likewise, what are the breakthroughs that you're supposed to be making so that your children can walk in the benefits of that breakthrough? And so here's David, you know, raising up this fallen booth, this tabernacle of David, and this prophetic word in Amos 9:11, Amos 9:11, is as a bringing forth of it. And there's so much more than we're accessing now. I believe we're just at the very, very beginning of the fruit of Amos 9:11, the fulfillment of this word. The Apostle James in Acts chapter 15 says the very same thing. He quotes this passage, and he says in it that after these things, he's quoting, "I will return. And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins. And I will restore it." That's four I wills, in case we have any doubt. "So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago." And so we realize that we've got a Father who is saying, "I want all the nations of the earth to seek me." And what do you see there? You see community again. You see a father who wants a family. You see a dad who's longing for every single person that has been created in his image to have that level of relationship with him. And you see a dad that's looking for a bride for his son Jesus. A bride that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that is being brought forth in holiness and in purity. And so for us, right now, I believe as we capture the heart of Jesus, we begin to cry out with this spirit of prayer, this place of prayer, to emphasize it, to be desperate, to lay a hold of what's on his heart. Because the more we commune in the place of communion, the more we know the heart of our God and our Father, the more we want to respond with the urgency and with the longing in the place of prayer. And what's the longing of your heart? Have you been in touch with the longing of your heart? Do you know what you really long to? Do you ever get desperate for something? You know, it's that place of desperation, that place of burning, that place of longing. Scripture says in Romans 8 that all creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Are you accessing, are you able to access that place of groaning? You know, it's both a very uncomfortable place, but it's also a glorious place. Because the destiny that our Father has for you is so amazing. It is so incredible, but he's calling for you to come into agreement, even through the place of groaning. What does it mean to be the sons of God? I mean, for me, again, it means that, again, our dad wants a great big family. It means that every single one of us belongs. You belong. You count. You matter. You know, I want to share a story here. It was 15 years ago, 1995. I came here because John Arnott asked Patricia and I, with our two kids and one in the oven at the time, to come and to help out with the pastoral team with the idea of doing a church plant. And we just wanted to serve the anointing and serve the move of God that was happening in this place. And I didn't realize it at the time, but for three years, I argued with the Lord internally more than anything as to why I was the wrong choice and why I didn't qualify. I looked around me. I saw all these people that had an amazing anointing on their life. It's amazing calling, gifting, the abilities. I tell you, it seems like when they opened their mouth, God moved. And I just sat there and I allowed this place of rejection to enter my heart. I just thought, shame, unworthiness. I embraced it all. Not knowingly, but unknowingly. I allowed all my wounds and hurts to tell me why I didn't qualify and why I wasn't there. But I had a God who was very faithful. And he allowed me to go around the mountain. There's another year, John. How long do you want to keep going? But this rejection, or this, you know, it was an aspect of rejection, but it was a shame and unworthiness fed my heart. And for finally, you know, I think in 1998 or so, I just said, all right, Lord, I've had enough. I don't want to live this way. I felt like a fake. I felt like I was on the outside looking in. I'm here hosting meetings, you know, and these anointed people are here. And I thought, wow, God's moving through them incredibly powerfully. What am I doing here? But I just said, Lord, I give up. Like, either get me out, kill me or something, you know. I just don't want it anymore. And he broke my heart. And he began to show me that I had bought the lies of rejection. I had bought the lies of unworthiness. I had not understood the deep passion in the Father's heart for belonging. And as I was praying this week, I felt like the Lord was saying, there's a lot of people that have bought into that very lie, and they are excluding themselves by their decisions, by their agreement with hell. They're excluding themselves from the beauty of communion and from the beauty of belonging. And so when Peter whispered in my ear this morning, I feel like God's giving me a word about belonging. I'm sitting thinking, that's great. He says, no, but people don't belong. I know, that's awesome. Right? I mean, it isn't awesome, but it is awesome because he's saying enough is enough is enough. You know, I think we look at the children of Israel and we say they went around the mountain. How many years? Yeah, 40 years. How long did they need to go around? I mean, I've heard it could take them 11 days potentially. I've been there, actually. I walked the Sinai. I did it in a matter of probably 2 hours, but, you know, bus power is great. And then camel power. It was awesome taking a camel as well. It was like 53 degrees in the sand, Celsius. So, and then you see all the Bedouins running around in their bare feet. And it's like, whoo, can't imagine. But, you know, I'm wondering, how much farther could we be today? And we're buying a lie. And the reality is that I don't want to look at you and judge you because I've been in the same place. And I feel like when we lay a hold of the heart of the Father, what's he doing? He's looking at you, and he doesn't have judgment towards you. He has compassion towards you. He doesn't feel anger towards you. Will you get your act together and just agree with me? But he's patient, and he's loving, and he's tender, and he's kind, and he's wooing you, and he's saying, come. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me deal with that spirit. Let me deal with that ancestral, generational, ungodly belief and fear that keeps you tied up in a bondage, that keeps you from belonging. You know, one of the most crucial needs that we have as human beings is the need to belong. You know, we feel the need to belong. And so When the Spirit just arrested that in Peter's heart, I thought, that is exactly right. You know, how many of you don't feel the need to belong? I mean, we do. We're created with the need to belong because that was always what was in the heart of the Father. That you belong. You count. You have value. You are important and valuable. Do you know how much you're worth to him? Everything. Your value is determined by the price that was paid for you. What is the price that was paid for you? Have you looked at your price tag lately? When I look at mine, I see the blood of Jesus. I see the cross of Christ. And when I look at you, I see the blood of Jesus and I see the cross of Christ. And I don't see anybody that is any less valuable or any more valuable than I am. Because we all have equal value in the eyes of the Father. And your gifting may be completely different than the gifting of other people. But you are valuable. Our God created you in His image. And our God is one, and He is three, and He's also seven. The sevenfold Spirit of God, the nature of God. There's like the sevens of God are right throughout Scripture. It's an aspect of the nature of God. So when I see you, I see an aspect of who God is. If I look at you and begin to appreciate and value your gifting, I'm appreciating and valuing the gifting of the Holy Spirit, who God is. And He's a God of community. It's no mistake that the cross is both vertical and horizontal. We talked about breakthrough earlier. Jesus came from heaven in a place that there was perfect horizontal communion. Perfect. There is no fights. They weren't scrapping like the video that Daphne showed. They're in complete unity. And isn't it interesting that community has unity right in it? And it was beautiful. It's amazing that they could be in this place of unity, and yet there's this desire to say, this is so beautiful that I have to share it. I've got to give it away. We know that, you know, to have love, we've got to give it away, don't we? We may walk in God's love and give it away. Well, the triune God had this place of unity and community, and they said, we've got to give it away. So they created you with the intent purpose that they could give it away to you, that you could share in this fellowship, in this unity, in this community. And so what happened is Jesus descended from the heavenly places, and He gave us breakthrough. He began to access this vertical alignment of breakthrough, that because of His breakthrough, you and I have access. He showed us, He initiated and demonstrated the place of intimate union and communion with the Father. And He said, because I've broken through and entered into this doorway, all of mankind has access to enter into this doorway. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. And why don't we do it? I mean, we do. I know we do at times. But we can come as often as we want. And I think it's this ugly, demonic spirit of rejection and not fitting in and not belonging and not being as good as the next guy, which is a lie. We have access. Jesus gave us that breakthrough. He entered the door that He lambasted the Pharisees for not accessing and entering into. And then what He did is He demonstrated perfect horizontal communion on planet Earth with His disciples. And so he gathered 12 and then 70, and there's a beautiful communion, community in their midst. And again, He broke through a doorway. He opened a door and He said, because I have done this, you now have access to do the same. And so the question I ask you is what's your level of horizontal communion with your fellow man? I mean, if I ask myself that, I'm saying, oh, Lord, I am deeply lacking. But the reality is that Jesus broke through this doorway. He opened the door. He walked in communion with His disciples, who He called friends. And He invited us to have the same level of communion. And I believe as a local church and as a local body, we have an invitation to access so much of the glory of God in heaven, to release it to earth, because the very prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is, your kingdom come and your will be done, where? On the earth as it is, where? That means everywhere the soles of your feet tread, He's given you that territory, and He's calling you to release heaven and the glory of heaven and the glory of communion and community and unity where you are. Now, He's given you His Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit to continue to bring the breakthrough. Jesus gave the first and the greatest breakthrough. And now we have this amazing privilege as the sons of God. You know, to those who received Him and believed in His name, He gave them the right to be called what? Sons of God or children of God. It's genderless, male, female. And we are His sons. We're royalty. We have authority in heavenly places to access this great grace that He's given us. And so we access it and we bring it with us wherever we are. You know, we take that place of communion. And it's many fold. It's like, Lord, we want to continue to know You. We want to know Your ways. We pray the prayers of Paul. I mentioned it briefly last week, these apostolic prayers that release that grace within us. But even Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. Why? If you have love for one another. You know, you're not going to have the kind of community if you don't have love. And at a very root of love, there's just basic kindness. It's appreciation. Can we kind of say, Lord, we want to go there? How many of you want to go there? When I left 8 or 9 years ago, I heard several of you in this place who actually stated, there's one who will remain nameless, Tom and Christine. Sorry. Oh, yeah. That just expressed to me the longing of their heart to say, you know, I want communion. I want community. There's this thing of community. That's why we do cells. It's to grow in community. It doesn't mean we have to put our best foot forward all the time. But, you know, sometimes we got to choose life. I don't measure who you are based upon your past. I recognize your past, and I recognize that God is breaking you free into the next level. But what I remember, what I know is that God actually judges you by your future. He finishes things before he starts them, and he sees the blood of Jesus, and he looks at you not based upon what you've done or where you've come from. He looks at you based upon where you're going because of the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ. He sees the finished product. He's planted a seed within you. And according to, I think it's Genesis 8, thereabouts, you know, as long as the earth remains, there will not cease seed time and harvest, as well as night and day and a number of other things. That means if he's put a seed inside of you, he's intending on seeing a harvest out of that seed. And there's a seed of community. And there's a seed of oneness. And there's a seed of humility. And there's a seed of being able to measure you not by what you've done. Don't look at yourself based upon your past. Can you do that for the glory of God? I want to ask you to stand. If I could have the worship team come forward, please. I want to have a place of entering into ministry and just saying, you know, Lord, forgive us. How many of you feel like you need to repent for agreeing with the enemy? Even when it comes to things like shame and unworthiness and rejection, God does not exclude you. The Father has not excluded you. He counts you as part of himself. He calls you a son and a daughter. And so let's just pray. Can we have you pray together and let's just repeat and say, Lord, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. Whoa. And I confess that I believed a lie, that the enemy has fed me, that I am not worthy, that there is shame as part of my identity. And I have received rejection in my life. And I repent of it now. In the name of Jesus, I turn from that wicked way. I choose to agree with light and life. Jesus, you provided the breakthrough that I could have unity in community. And I choose now to enter into that sweet communion with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, by your Spirit, help me to see where that demonic spirit of rejection and unworthiness would try to attack me again. Let me cast that thing down. Let me extinguish it with the shield of faith before it ever accesses me. Whoa. In the name of Jesus. And help me to love the one next to me. Help me to love my neighbor even as myself. In the same way that you first loved me, in the name of Jesus, I receive my breakthrough now. And I declare that my breakthrough has come on the heels of your breakthrough for me. and that my breakthrough will release breakthrough for my family, for my cell group, for the people that I work with. I will be bold about my breakthrough. I will give thanks for my breakthrough. I will not dwell on what I was, but I will dwell on who I am becoming because of Jesus Christ and your finished work at the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Yay, God. And so we declare over that spirit, let rejection be done away with. It has caused enough pain in the church. Lord, I pray for an anointing for family and an anointing for community and an anointing for prayer. Lord, an anointing to weep with those that weep, even as Chris DePre said last week, and an anointing to rejoice with those that rejoice. That we would enter into every breakthrough that you have given us, King Jesus. Because our future is so incredible. It is so flippin' amazing. Yay! Yeah. I think we need to celebrate, Jonathan. So you know what? Let's rejoice. Let's just sing a song of praise, of glory to God. And I want to encourage you to go around, and maybe some of you need to repent to those around you. Maybe some of you need to come to the front and just do a little bit more business with the Holy Spirit, in the sense of realizing that you've actually embraced these spirits as though they were friends. You know, some of us are looking for friends, and we got the wrong friends. Rejection is not your friend. Unworthiness is not your friend. It wasn't mine. Shame is not your friend. All these things that will separate you and divide you from the body of Christ, they're not your friend. Look around you. These are your friends. Look up. He's your friend. And you know, when you learn what it means to love one another, and I'm talking to me as much as anybody, okay, then we've got the grace to love the world out there. Okay, we're broken people. That's why we're in the church. We entered in because we knew there was something wrong with us. Okay, but we have an awesome Savior. So let's just worship and rejoice as we close. If somebody wants prayer for anything, or maybe just come to the front again and do a little bit of business with the Lord. Peter, I don't know if you've got anything else in that vein that you want to lead us in. No? So let's make sure you give a good hug or give a high five to at least five other people before you go. Anything else, Sandra, as far as announcements? God bless you. Have a great time. I urge you to get into cell groups. Build community. There is a grace for community. It is the way to access the greater things of God. To release that holy kiss and that hug in the Lord. Over to you, Jonathan.
I just want to say that, you know, I really feel like the Lord has spoken for the way forward. You know, it's going to take that community really to turn this city upside down. And we need to not just be in agreement with it today, but follow through on this. Really follow through on that word. Build community. Don't tear it down. Build it. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit break out in ways that we've never seen before. Amen.